Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno, and I'm joined by a panel today. This is like Meet the Press. And just like that, there's a bunch of people on this podcast. I'm joined today by JGL, Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Hi.
Anthony Bongiorno.
Hi, everyone.
Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
Mean Janine Gagliardi. And we today are going to talk about the 10-episode limited series. And just like that, a Star Wars story, a Sex and the City story, or the next chapter in Sex. What's it called?
The next chapter.
The next chapter in Sex and the City. Okay. Now, my panel demanded that we do this episode. I want to know everybody's history with Sex and the City. Let's start with you, JGL.
I used to watch it with my aunt, which sounds weird, but we didn't have HBO. So we watched
the TBS?
Right.
Yeah. No. Oh my God. You must have thought it was such a different show.
I did.
I have a friend who said that people who've only watched the TBS or E Sex and the Cities are not yet women.
Well, I've since watched.
Were you shocked?
I mean, no. Like, really, they just cut out the sex.
I've seen a few on TBS and I was like shocked by the amount of content they had to cut out.
I don't know. I was also like a teenager, so I don't think it mattered. Mm.
Better for you that you got that version.
My history is I have actually watched very few of the TBS, the edited versions. I watched it on, I jumped into it like season 4 or 5 when it was in its original run. And then that was around the time when HBO On Demand had just started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I went back and I watched all the seasons on HBO On Demand. And I just became, this was in high school, became so obsessed with it. I watched it every single night.
You've read the book.
I read the book. I remember it ended when we were seniors, when I was a senior in high school. And it was like a big deal. My friends and I got together. We watched the finale.
Yep.
Then the movies and stuff like that came after. But I've been a big fan since very early on.
Did you make Virgin Cosmos like I did?
I don't think we
did. Like cranberry juice.
No, I don't think we did. But I do remember exactly who was there. And I remember all of our like reactions to everything happening in that finale. And it was super fun. It's like a core memory of mine from high school.
Janine, what's your history with it?
Very similar. I started watching it in high school on HBO On Demand, which I like to think of as one of the original prototypes for a streaming service, basically.
Sure, absolutely.
I remember at the time it was not every season would be available. So you'd get season 2 would be on and then you'd have to catch those episodes while they were still available and try to watch the whole season until they took it down. And then we also had, it's funny, we were all teenagers. We were watching this raunchy show on HBO and so many people have this in common that they had the finale party and they're
yes, I remember. I had a finale party.
Yeah.
And Sarah Jessica Parker is on the record as saying she's horrified by teenage girls coming up to her at the time and being like, I love this show. She's like, why are you watching this show?
No, I was going to say, I think that inspired that episode. Remember that episode with Kat Dennings?
Yes.
The sweet 16-year-old girls.
Oh, right. No, it's even her bat mitzvah is younger.
They talk and act just like them and that was inspired by so many young girls saying they loved Sex and the City and they identified with it.
Right.
I was gonna say, when you were talking about the seasons, I just remembered that I also had the seasons, and I don't know how I could forget this because I literally stare in the face every day, but season 3 the cover broke up and it's see-through, so I stuck it to the top of my mirror, so it's just there when I
aspirational.
I know, but it's all the way at the top and I'm short.
So. Season 3 is a great season.
I remember those hard plastic Sex and the City season DVDs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have since gotten the big pink suede book of all the seasons. Ooh, that was a Christmas gift one year. That was, God, what a...
Similar to, I guess, you guys, I mean, I'm 3 years older than all of you, But I didn't watch it at the beginning. I feel like I got into it like the second to last season. Mm-hmm. And like you guys, through HBO. No, I was dating somebody and she was like, you got to watch them all. So we watched them all and I liked them. And then I think I watched the last season as it aired. Mm-hmm. I saw the first film at like some like preview. Mm-hmm. The only thing I haven't seen is the second film. I've only seen like 10 minutes of the second film and I was like, this is horrible.
Yeah,
and I turned it off. Mm-hmm. I have not read the book. I have not seen the Carrie Diaries. Who has anyone seen the Carrie Diaries?
I liked it.
Jen has. I read the books, but I did not watch
it. Is it canon?
It's not great, but it's soft canon.
It's soft canon?
I think it's soft canon.
Martha Jones from Doctor Who's in it, right?
I think so.
Sarah Jessica Parker is not a fan at
all. Yeah, but I think I like the girl that plays Carrie. I think she does a good Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it?
Is her name Anna Sophia Robb?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's in Willy Wonka.
There really is like a between.
Oh, right, yeah.
Between the movies and Just Like That, Carrie Diaries, and the original series, there's like a Sex and the City cinematic universe.
There's a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot.
There's a lot of it.
All right. Before we get into the nitty gritty, I want a 1 to 10 on In Just Like That. Jen, 1 to 10.
Oh, come on. I guess a 5, hoping it gets better.
Like if they do another season.
I hope.
Like, where would you put Sex and City at its highest highs?
Oh, season 4. Comparing it?
Yeah.
No, I just want to know a number. Okay. No, you said did it right.
Yeah, I think it was a strong run to the end. Like, I really liked how the series ended. I thought the movie had its weaknesses, but it was pretty strong.
The movie's just like a season 7.
I would say the second movie is probably its lowest point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I still will defend it. But
so what, a 1 to 10, what would you call this new season?
I would give it a 7 or an 8.
Wow.
Wow.
Very high.
But you might be a lot of that is because of, I think, the finale of A Just Like That saved this whole run. I think it had a very strong beginning, a very strong ending, and kind of a weak middle as a run.
Janine, thoughts? Number?
I was going to say 4, but I'll go in between. I'll give it a 6. Like, it's just, like, it's 65. Like, you get a passing grade, but it's not great.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 4, but I've seen the original show. Every episode, and I watch them a lot, but I'm not nearly as big a fan as you guys. But I just didn't find it funny. This new show was not really funny, and I don't know if it was the lack of Samantha in it or just I don't know what it was trying to do. I find myself often watching the new show going, okay, what are they doing? What am I supposed to be feeling? It all felt very lost to me.
To me, it feels like a weird hybrid of the movies and the original series. Because it's very cinematically shot. It's got the same score from the movies. Mm. Like, it follows a lot of the same beats as the movies and not the original series, even though it is a series. I will say that, like, listening to the Writers Room podcast was very enlightening. Because a lot of things that I think people, like, have issues with, this, I think, is to their credit. They like kind of did on purpose because they said, like, we don't want to redo Sex and the City. That's why we changed the name. And one of the things that they said was, like, we wanted it to be more of like an hour long drama than a comedy.
It definitely feels like that.
There's also not a lot of sex.
There's not.
I mean, other than like some finger banging in the kitchen.
Yeah. Right. And I do think it feels like it's almost like daring you to like how much do you care about these characters that now you'll watch them in an hour-long drama rather than a punchy sitcom.
Right.
Yeah, I think they...
I didn't call that bluff.
Have to listen to a podcast to get that.
Right, exactly.
It's not successful.
Right.
And I think they're right in the sense that people did care enough about these characters because it's now the most successful original programming that HBO has ever had. It has way surpassed Sex and the City. You have all these new viewers. But yeah, it's not funny. I find a lot of people are disappointed with the characters. I mean,
I wish it had a beginning, a middle, end. It feels like
it kind of like ends with the like
Are they going to do more? I heard are they going to do? Is there a plan to do more? Because it doesn't wrap. I thought it was going to be more like the third movie, but stretched out.
Right. Yes. And I thought so too.
Feels like a new show.
It is the DNA is the screenplay for the third movie. Like, the third movie was going to be about Big dying in the first 10 minutes and Carrie dealing with loss.
Yeah.
So that is from the third movie. But there is stuff that is new to and just like that, that wasn't a part of that original screenplay, which was, I mean, that was ready to go. It was all written and done, and then Kim Cattrall dropped out, and it all fell apart.
Right.
Probably because they were going to give her a storyline like she got fat or like crazy shit that they did in the last few movies.
They were going to play around with like Brady sexting Samantha or something.
Oh, she was like, this is horrible. Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
Well, so let's hit some of the big plot points. You brought up one already. What do you guys think about Big dying?
Loved it.
Yeah, me too. Even pre all of this.
Well, obviously the actor is kind of canceled.
Well, yeah. But even before that, I was so shocked when I went on Twitter and I saw so many people being like, oh my God, they killed Big. They ruined the show. Because to me, I'm like, first of all, what did you think was going to happen? Like, you could tell from the promos that Big was in exactly one scene.
Yeah.
And second, how are you going to make, like, I get frustrated as a fan when I see other people who are like, Miranda should have stayed with Steve. Big shouldn't have died. Nothing bad should happen to these characters. It's like, well, there needs to be conflict if anything's going to happen. Yeah. So you're going to have to deal with
something. I mean, I do still think that Miranda should be with Steve. Well, part of me,
I think Miranda might get back together with Steve. That's my hot take.
I hope he doesn't take her back. I hope he chose peace. Yes. He chose peace in his heart. No more of this.
Part of me feels like I'm sure they did this on purpose, but part of me feels like I agree with what her editor says when she's like, isn't it weird? Like, your whole career was about falling in love, and then you fall in love, and then the guy dies. Like, it's kind of a bummer. So I kind of agree with that, but the fact that they voiced it on the show makes me feel like, I don't know, they were calling me out.
You feel attacked.
You know, the thing that I ended up liking most in the second – you said it started strong. I do not think so. I think the first two episodes are so depressing. The second episode, the part that I really liked was when that other character was like
– Susan Sharon.
Does anyone remember Big was such a dick? Yes. Like, I was like, I thank you because he's like a saint in this.
I had a problem with that moment. Even though I loved it and I'm part of the Susan Sharon hive and I really wanted Susan Sharon to like come back and replace Amanda.
I wanted
you cowards, bring back Amelita Amalfi. Like, I want more old school characters. Karen, you bitch. Like, I want her back. But I did feel that was weird tonally, because it's like, are we supposed to feel sad that Big died, or are we supposed to agree with Susan Sharon that Carrie's just so hung up on Big?
Right.
This is my problem. I don't ever know what I'm supposed to be feeling.
Because the show is never conflicted about Big other than that moment.
This show isn't.
This show is not.
The original show
is always
is like he's Big's a bad guy.
He's not good for her. He's toxic.
Yeah.
Don't be with him. Mm-hmm. And then they really put him up on a pedestal season 6. And then
in the movies he had a personality transplant. He's just totally different.
He's just like, I'm reading books in bed.
Yeah. Like, I just want you, Carrie. I've only had you. It's like
we have a perfect marriage.
Yeah.
Right.
No, do we?
We've never seen Carrie and Big truly happy. Because they're always breaking up.
But we're told that when we weren't looking, they were happy.
Yeah, they get
together in the finale, which at the time I was like, yay, they're together. But now in hindsight, I kind of wish that she had ended up single, which is one of the original endings.
That would have been better, I think.
The movie, they're happy for the first 5 minutes. Then he jilts her at the altar. Then they get back together the last 5 minutes. And the second one, they're fighting at the beginning. She goes away. She goes on this trip, kisses Aiden, comes back home and makes up with Big.
Yeah.
And then and just like that, they're happy for one scene and then he dies. There's really no time that they're ever happy.
And he's the ultimate unavailable guy. He made himself unavailable through death.
Yes.
He pulls Jackson Maine by being like, let me look at you. Like, she should have known then he was going to die. Yeah. Like, are you about to die?
I read one review that was like, he impossibly knew he was about to die. Because he gave her a meaningful look before she left.
Right.
But that's so Sex and the City. I mean, I'm doing a rewatch of the original Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And it gets a lot of reverence. It was never that well written. I mean, come on.
Right.
But it had,
like, when it came to like the sex stuff and the dating stuff, some of it was like outrageous stuff, outrageous comedy.
For the time,
and especially. like now it just feels like toned down in a weird way. It's like, what's in the menu now? Like, what am I coming here for now? Is it supposed to be just I care about these characters?
I think so.
I don't know if I do as much.
After this series, I'm like, I love Charlotte. I never loved her as much as I do now. I love her
Charlotte
now.
Charlotte carried the show on her
She really, really did. Oh my God. She had her face pulled real tight before because she knew she was going to be working it. And she, she was going to be working so hard.
On that podcast, they said that they did two takes of the Che fingering Miranda scene.
Yeah.
And one, Michael Patrick
King. And one, King, she orgasmed like a human woman. And the other, they were like, just act like a wild animal.
My big thing is I think that Sex and the City took a downward turn the minute Michael Patrick Caine became the auteur of Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Because I think that
so many of his impulses are wrong.
Yes.
And the show was better when Darren Star was the showrunner. Mm-hmm. I just think that Michael Patrick Caine is too close to it and he can't see when he's making bad decisions. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he said they filmed it in two ways. One with Miranda playing it, with Cynthia Nixon playing it like the way she plays in the show where it's like really heavy and she's doing like that guttural like I'm coming sound. Yeah. And then he said there was another one they did where they played it for comedy and it was supposed to be like a big farce and it was like funny and then Carrie spelling the P was supposed to be funny. Mm-hmm. And it's like that would have been Sex and the City. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like you made, it's like, again, you made the wrong choice. Like they, he always seems to make the wrong choice.
Yeah.
And you should have left that fucking hat on her head.
Right. Because so much of the comedy, so much of the sex in the original show was played for comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. That it was, it was irreverent.
Right.
The original show.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about Che now or
what else is there? Oh, we didn't say welcome to X, Y, and Me, everyone.
I love in the last episode, Che's like, I gotta quit my podcast. It's like, do you know what a podcast is? Like also, it's like it's like a 9-to-5 job. Like I can't do my podcast from a different city.
Right, yeah, no. You can record it anywhere. This just plays.
Yeah,
but, had an actual but
see, that's another example of like, am I supposed to be laughing at
that? Was funny
people that are. Am I supposed to be laughing?
Kind of funny because it was like making fun of.
It was. Like,
is it? Was it making fun of wokeness?
No, I think it was making fun of wokeness. They say, you know, obviously one person cannot represent an entire group of people. Like I thought that was pretty funny. It was supposed to be a joke.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Chase a lot of people, sucks. People.
Chase sucks. Chase
like, sucks. Well, Chase like big. They it's like, big. Yeah. Like, well, Che makes Miranda act like not the Miranda we know, which is annoying because she was always like the character I liked the most.
Yeah, she, yeah.
She was always the one who was
most
like,
relatable.
Yeah, exactly. She was like the steady friend in the group. Mm-hmm. And she's now pragmatic. She's just acting crazy.
Yes.
She's just going wild.
Like Carrie used to act with Big. Like she'd be a complete nut job.
Right, right. So you've got that. I don't like the way Che changes the Miranda character. Mm-hmm. But then Che in general, you know, there's the nitpicky things like Che's supposed to be a comedian and they're not very funny, which happens a lot when you see comedy in shows.
Yes,
but,
big time.
But it's such a bad way where like Che's not even telling jokes. They're like, Che's and like I'm wet, vaginas.
Sexually harassing the audience.
Yeah.
Like, it's really and their
in universe, every time Che makes a joke. Like,
and they're also like sprung on Che.
At her comedy concert. At the comedy concert. Jen, you had a good thought, though, of how they should have done it.
I said it would have been better as a TED Talk.
Agreed. Right, because it would have been an uproarious TED Talk.
Right.
And
right.
You don't have to be funny.
No, you don't.
I think they were going for, like, Hannah Gadsby or something.
Which
right?
is wild, because that is, if I were Hannah Gadsby, I'd be like, is this how I come across? Because other, I've not got, at all.
I think I have punchlines somewhere.
Hannah Gadsby's energy.
Who's that
at all?
Who was like, I just want to make this announcement. I am not Che Diaz. It's someone that was like Che Diaz was also modeled on.
Oh my god!
Like a non-binary comic.
Oh, I don't know.
That was pretty
that's
funny.
Really funny.
I will say this.
And they're bad for Miranda. They gaslight Miranda.
Oh, yeah.
They tell Miranda, you know, they bring her in and they push her away, and then you know, I don't touch you back. Sorry, I'm a pothead.
I'm
blah, blah.
Weed. I do weed.
Yeah, and it's
I'm weed.
Yeah, right. And again, I found myself as an audience member going, am I supposed to be rooting for these people? Because I found myself constantly going, when is this storyline going to come to its obvious conclusion of Che breaks Miranda's heart?
Right.
Miranda has to stop and assess her life.
Right.
Which I thought was going to happen in Cleveland.
Yes. Yes.
But
yes.
Then
and they never show us Cleveland.
Doesn't go anywhere.
Unforgivable.
I really thought, okay. And then when she was like, I'm in a rom-com, it's like, okay, ooh, she's setting herself up to
she's
get so
nuts.
Heartbroken.
Yeah, yeah. She is being the Carrie, and Carrie's being the Miranda.
Yeah.
Like, I
right.
Loved in the
Carrie's
finale.
Very cynical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved in the finale when they had the reverse of the conversation about Carrie. Carrie going to Paris, where she's like, what are you going to do in LA, Miranda, all day long? Like, what are you doing? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then she wore the croissant dress when she went to Paris.
But I don't think Carrie did enough for Miranda. I feel like Carrie's not
Carrie's
a good friend.
She's a very bad friend. She's a very, 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 very bad friend.
The worst person. I love her.
Well, it's funny. It's actually not surprising that so many teenagers loved Carrie.
Oh, yeah.
Because
she's a teenager.
She has the like emotional depth of a teenager. She has the maturity of a teenager. Like, she really, really is an extremely selfish person.
Yeah.
I find her insufferable as an adult. Like, I cannot watch
her.
Yeah,
I found myself not liking
her at all. I think she's very unlikable.
And also, at some point, it's like, in now that Big's dead, mm-hmm. it's like, this is a show, this is a rich person. We're watching a millionaire.
Yes.
Like, this is a show about millionaires.
Yeah.
Who could just buy houses that they're not even sure if they like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just like, I am not relating.
I love all this.
Tell me. I want to know.
Like, not aspirational, but like, because you don't want to necessarily be that person, but you just like. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's a window into this world that you know nothing about, essentially.
Explain that to me more. Like, the love.
I just loved everything Carrie was up to this season. I can't help it. I'm a Disney Carrie at heart. I love Carrie. And I don't know.
What do you love about her? Like, what?
Oh, man. I don't know. She sucks, but I just really
that's what that's what I'm interested in.
I just find her so incredibly charming.
She goes with her whims.
Yeah.
And there's no consequences. Basically. None.
Yeah,
but you just fall ass backwards into being a millionaire.
Yeah. She really did.
I love this adult Carrie, though. Like, I like that she's, you could tell that she's lived a bit. She is more grounded than she used to be.
I feel like she hasn't learned anything from it, though. I mean, I
loved her reunion with Natasha.
Yeah, that was really me too.
Good. Yeah, that was good.
She still loved her old stalking tricks.
Yeah.
I thought Natasha acted the hell out of that scene. Did. I thought she was really, really good in it.
One of my favorite jokes of the season was when Charlotte goes, "She's wearing flats." Charlotte really carried
it. Charlotte was so good.
She's also the one friend who seems to not be.
Harry was making me laugh.
Harry broke my heart this season when he's like, "It's nothing makes you feel worse as a parent than somebody talking about your kid like you don't know them at all." And you see them like hanging out and palling around the whole season up to that point. So it's like they're close, but he has no entry into this world.
Right.
Yeah.
I loved at the Bay Mitzvah when Harry and Charlotte were like,
"What's it going to be, Rock?"
And they were like, Rock was like, "I don't like any of this," and Harry was like, "What's this?" Like yelling at them, like you're just annoying. I like that it came back to like, okay, Rock's just like a kid,
an annoying kid.
Right? Why didn't you say anything before this event? The event is happening.
It's happening right now. What are you doing?
I don't even want to identify as a New Yorker.
They were both like, "No. That is a bridge too far. We support you, but not this."
Charlotte's the one whose life is most together. Like, she's dealing with her child, who's dealing with their identity.
Yeah.
But her life is together more than anyone else's.
Oh, yeah. And Charlotte, that is one where I don't care about Miranda and Steve breaking up. Truly, I don't. I think everybody's getting, like, this whole Justice for Steve thing, I think, is way overblown.
That's
why,
Miranda.
Subtitles at this point.
Oh, my God.
He was normal in the Garfield movie. I'm just pointing that out.
But I will not forgive them if they break up Charlotte and Harry. Charlotte has been through enough.
Yes. No.
Harry is perfect.
That whole episode where he was like, "Why don't you say sorry to me?" I was like, "Where is this going?"
They drop a lot of things. Well, like, her downstairs neighbor was around for an episode and then they dropped that.
So many things are like start and it's like, where is this going? Oh, nowhere?
Yeah.
Like, nitpicking though felt like old Harry because that's what he used to do. He used to call Charlotte out.
But it was good. It was like to push her and better her. I know. But I'm just like, is he putting his balls everywhere?
His giant cock.
His big cock. God bless Harry. I thought that one of the strongest scenes in this, I don't want to say series because I do hope that there's a second season. I'm going to say season is when they go to LTW's house and Charlotte breaks out her knowledge of art.
Yes.
And
we haven't seen art gallery Charlotte
returning was like, oh, a return to form.
She's not just ornamental. She's not a trophy wife. She's not like this Stepford wife.
Let me ask you about this. As a way of sort of course correcting or dealing with some of the criticisms of the original show,
they gave everyone a POC.
Everybody has a person of color friend. And some of them, nothing happens with. Some of them, Like there, when there's a scene with just
Nia Wallace,
yes, and her husband, I'm like,
did the none of our guys wander off. Yeah, like where?
What show? Why are is we this there? A backdoor pilot? Why are we?
Yes, it felt like a backdoor pilot. Like,
none of our guys are in this.
Yeah,
right. It felt like. Why and couldn't they be more part of the show?
I don't care about that character.
Yeah, so exactly.
Like, okay, she's having a tiff.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
This is what I want. Mm-hmm. I think, and this is my ultimate hope for season two. I think that this was the uncomfortable growing pains period, and now we've established that there are six of them or seven of them, or whatever.
I want more.
And now it's an expanded world. I want more SEMA. I want more LTW.
I found myself wanting way more SEMA.
SEMA's great.
I really like LTW. I wanted more from her. I didn't
like LTW.
I liked LTW.
I like Nia way more than LTW.
I really love Nia.
Nia was a little annoying. I like LTW more than Nia.
I think Nia is just annoying. Well, I do find Nia annoying because she's like, why do you even want to have a kid? And they're both like, we just did IVF. What do you mean? There's so many steps we have to do to get to this point. Like, you want to have this conversation now after we did whatever.
Yeah. When towards the end of the season, there were finally scenes of them like all together. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is what I want. Like something new, but with the old characters.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people along the way. Well, there was a lot of viewers that were like, is this the new Samantha? Is that supposed to be the Samantha? Right. And do you think that they were trying to make anyone the new Samantha? Or do you think we were just looking for it?
We were looking for it. I think SEMA is the natural successor.
The documentary, Michael Patrick King talks about the first time we see, what's her name?
LTW.
The other two leave because he's like, I didn't want to have them all sit at the same time because then people would think that that's what I was trying to do.
I
thought the 4C was always rotated.
Right.
Between characters.
And originally, this show was just like hit on all sides with tragedy because originally I think the plan was the 4th seat was going to be Stanford.
Yes.
Was so good for the first three episodes.
Yeah, right. The chemistry was great.
He has to me, the funniest part of the whole show is when he's like talking to Charlotte and he's like, I'm just going to say it. You don't think I'm part of the inner circle?
Yes.
She's like, you talk to your therapist about me? You come up.
Yeah.
They were so good together.
But you know, he was always supposedly, he was always going to leave Anthony.
Yeah, they were going to
He was going to still he be was, in it, but he was going to leave Anthony.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Why did they ever get married?
That was silly. I actually think that's a good course correct because it was stupid for them to be married.
Yeah.
Let's just put the gays together.
Which is so insulting to the audience because they tried to be set up on the show.
Yes, and they didn't get along.
Why? You think we're together?
Because we're the two gay people?
Yeah, and then they are married.
Yeah.
That one of the many tragedies of part two.
Isaac Cole Powell he's a Broadway actor, was announced really early on as a series regular as an FIT student named George. Mm-hmm. And then I kept thinking, like, what happened to him? Like, why? Where is Isaac Cole Powell? Because I like him. And then I went back to the Instagram and I looked back at the post and he was scrubbed from the social media too. And then it just came out now that I think he was supposed to be like Stanford's new boyfriend. And then when he died, it was like, well, he's got to go too because we have another. Or at least the new talent he was managing or something.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, okay, yeah, okay, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So they were supposed to break up, always.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Another thing we learned.
That would have been cool. I'm sorry. If an FIT student was helping her catalog her clothes.
Yes.
Although, I like her relationship with Lily. I like that she gives Lily clothes. And I love that she, like, sleeps over and she's, like, a real aunt.
I love Aunt Carrie.
Her kids. I think it's really
sweet. What do you guys think about the callbacks and cameos of old outfits?
I love it. I mean, all the fashion.
Love.
Beautiful gowns.
But I think it's different. It's more than just having great fashion. It's, like, it's literally, like, you know.
Outfits.
Yeah. It's like seeing Bill Murray in the new Ghostbusters movie. Yeah. It's like, hey, remember this dress? Like. Yeah.
They did that in the movies too.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
She wore some of the original outfits.
Like
she wore the tutu,
the newspaper dress, and the tutu.
Yeah,
yeah.
I loved the Paris gown.
Yeah,
though
yeah.
I wish she had worn the Paris gown to Paris.
That would be nice.
I bet she originally did when it was Chris Noth there. Because that scene had to be reshot. It was originally she was supposed to like turn and see him.
For the documentary,
right, you just hear his voice.
Like, did they just cut him? No, but I mean, for the documentary, I was like, was he in the footage and they just like cut
probably,
him from that footage?
Yeah.
Although I thought that scene where she dumps the ashes in the sign was really, really good.
Yeah.
And I love the music staying there, and I thought she looked great. I loved her getting a drink with Samantha. I'm good with the Samantha. Like, we don't need to bring her up again. Mm-mm. They met up. They had a drink. They put it in the past. They're not going to be friends.
Do you think they handled that whole thing well?
Oh, I think it could have been handled better.
I think that it could have been better,
but here's my, I had this theory for so long that I was like, it's not really a theory. It was like an idea where I was like, I think it would have made the show really current and it would have made a lot of sense if they made, hear me out. They should have made Samantha a Trump voter.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Been,
we don't talk Ooh. To her because she was friends with Donald Trump. You could see Samantha being like, right. it yeah, is yeah. locker room talk, ladies. Yeah. Like, we're all getting a little too sensitive. And then, sensitive. It, like, just put, and then they too just, much of a wedge it would have been a real them. Thing where, like, friends break up over, like, our political times.
Yeah.
But I think that would have burned the bridge in case she ever wanted to come back.
Yeah. Although, now that I'm thinking about how they've placed these new characters in, I don't know that it would work because they'd have to oust them. They'd have to kind of make room for Samantha if she wanted to come back.
Right.
And now they've carefully laid so much groundwork to develop these other characters.
Well, SJP's a shady bitch, and just recently, She doesn't want her. She said, I don't want her. After everything she said publicly, I don't think it would be a good idea for her to come back.
I mean, I don't blame her. She has said a lot of crazy shit publicly.
Yeah. I thought they handled it as well as they could.
Did you get that SJP was like a little mean from the documentary?
I didn't watch the documentary, but I've always thought she's probably
She does seem a little mean.
She seems off-putting.
They said she's very, I've heard that she's very like got her hands in everything.
Yeah.
She's brilliant fashion-wise. Like she puts together the outfits. Yeah. And it's like such a knowledge of fashion. It's incredible. And she's like pulling things. She's like, well, what about this one? She has like this crazy memory. Do we know why Pat Field didn't come back?
She's doing Emily in Paris.
But is that the only reason? Because she's also taken photos with Kim Cattrall recently. And like, oh, there's been
wasn't there a stuff. Wasn't there a fan was theory that
shit about them? She said SJP. She was talking about Cynthia Nixon. She said Cynthia Nixon's a nightmare to dress. Mm-hmm. And that her friend Molly Rogers, who did the fashion. She said she calls me all the time saying it's a nightmare. And she said, well, Cynthia thinks she knows everything, but she doesn't. Sarah Jessica thinks she knows everything, but at least she actually does.
Sarah Jessica does seem to know everything. Yeah. Yes, she is fantastic.
Well, we learned from the documentary that Cynthia Nixon's character was supposed to get with
Naya.
Right. And then she decided she should go with Che. Do you think this was a good decision or not?
I mean...
I imagine Naya would have been different.
Well, way different.
It wouldn't have been with the husband.
She has a good point,
yeah.
Which is, this is like late in life, two previously straight women are just going to start like being together.
Well, it's but be maybe Naya like, wouldn't have been, maybe it would have been a different version of Naya.
Oh, I see. Well, no. Well, no, Cynthia Nixon in the documentary says it's another straight woman. She's like, I didn't want it to be like a straight woman and a straight woman coming from straight relationships and now they're together. And then it's like, oh, like, what is this sex life going to be? Like, you're figuring each other out. She's like, I wanted her to be with a like a more butch character.
Yeah. Just from a story standpoint, did it have to happen at all that Miranda came out? Like, I know in real life, it's reflecting what happened in real life with Cynthia Nixon. But why couldn't they make, I don't know, Miranda run for mayor and tragically lose? like, why did they, I don't know.
I will say this. I think that I actually really like, I hate Che, but I actually really think it makes a lot of sense for Miranda's character. Because I think that Miranda was always queer coded. And now it's 2022 and it's a new time. So now we could just do it. And it is... I do think it's important to show like late in life coming out stories because they do happen.
Yeah.
And they happened with Cynthia Nixon in real life. Not to say that it should be based on her life, but I guess
that's what I'm saying.
Especially doing the rewatch now. I remember like when we were in high school, like that scene in Splat when Miranda's like, Carrie, I love you.
Yes.
Me and my friends were like, oh my God, she's in love with Carrie. We've always known she's in love with Carrie. So like, it makes sense, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although there was that episode when they set her up with another woman for the softball thing, and she kisses her and is like, nah, nope, straight.
Yeah. That's in season one. But I think that was also like a nod to like, yeah, you're supposed to think Miranda's queer coded.
Yeah.
Like other people in universe think she's lesbian too.
Yeah.
Or she's queer. Yeah.
All right, let's go around the table. What's the worst part of this series? What's the thing that's like, ugh, that was the thing that really didn't work? This question's for everybody.
I think Miranda's drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to also say Brady. I don't know if I was, I don't know how I was ever supposed to feel about him. Am I supposed to care about you?
Am I
supposed to track really what you're doing?
Not or, like this kid at all.
Is your girlfriend supposed to mean something to me?
Yeah,
like
I was
what?
Say, I don't know about Brady, but the Louisa. Girlfriend, like, starts off strong and then doesn't go anywhere.
A lot. That's a lot of this series.
Yeah, it's like, here's somebody, get to know them a little bit, and you're like, okay, what are you going to do? Oh, nothing? Yeah. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I love the reveal of Miranda's red hair.
I felt like there was a regression.
I found that to be a regression.
I felt like she's flaming now.
Yeah.
Like now no, she's
I
like that full
she, I read it
when she said, why can't I change if I want to and change back if I want to?
I like that.
I don't know. I read it in a
Love Rabbi Jen.
It struck me in a
Rabbi
weird
Jen
way.
Queen. I liked it. I thought that was cute when Brady was like, I thought you were copying my hair. And she's like, I had it first. That's the only moment.
She was like, I fucking hate you.
She's like, God, I
wish I never had you.
Yeah.
I should have gone through with that abortion.
But she's such a great actress. I did love the scene where she had dinner with Naya and she was like, there are so many nights where I wish that I was a judge and I could come home to an empty house.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's people, so many people are like, but what about the Brooklyn Bridge? It's like, they're not the Brooklyn Bridge because he cheated on her. Like, they've always had problems. They were never a great couple.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that was an amazing scene. Between, like, that's the thing.
When she broke up with him?
Yes.
Yes, that was
very, that was a really, a he was fantastic in that
he
scene.
He chose peace.
Yeah, he chose peace. But he's like, you know, this relationship has always been you telling me I'm not good enough for you and me rallying for us every time. And he's like, I'm old. Yeah. I don't want to do that anymore.
20 years now.
Yeah. And he's like, and I finally thought we got to a place where we were beyond that. Like, we're just comfortable.
By the way, I love their life. What's wrong with, they have ice cream every night? Sounds ridiculous.
In the questions, it's like, why does she go through setting up all the toppings just to ask him which ones he wants? She has a whole buffet.
She is season bullshit.
Why did they make him deaf?
Because he's losing his hair in real life.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. Yeah.
I think that's why he sounds like that, too.
What was that?
Struggle hearing himself.
Was it a rumor or was it an idea you had that he was maybe like his mother, he was going to...
That was me.
Yeah.
Because of the whole scene that I thought he was going to be diagnosed with dementia because of the whole scene with the, in the market.
Yeah.
Oh, he got lost in the market. Yeah. And they left his hearing aid back.
Right. I was like, maybe he's going to have dementia and she's going to be more of a caretaker and that's more where Che fits in.
Right. Yeah.
That scene featured for me the worst line of the season, which was, if you two were a TV show, I'd stream you. Yeah.
Well, that made me think of, what is it, Jules and Jim or whatever it was, that show that she used to watch.
There were some bad lines, although they were all iconic. Mm-hmm. What about, I was craving me some Che.
Oh, yikes. Oh, my God.
What do you think was the best joke of the season?
Get out!
That was great. Anthony had some. Wait, what about Anthony? He was like, I don't know if they're Jewish, but they're all cut.
So. When he comes in to yell at Rock. I love how he calls them Rockefeller.
She thought she was a dog. She a dog?
I
love
that.
I loved it. So good. Because I like that he's like, okay, I'm queer too, but also they're just a kid.
Right. Yes. Right. Like, I like that
kids will have their silly seasons.
Right. He was making jokes about it, but then, you know, she would push back and be like, but what if this isn't a phase? Like, I like that Charlotte's really, really trying to be a good parent here and support their kid no matter what. And he's supporting her too, but like also saying, you got to back off. This kid's 12 years old. Like, if it turns out that, you know, they are trans for really reals, great. We will support them. Mm-hmm. But it was in like the beginning stages, I guess, the conversations I think that a lot of parents of trans children have, like how, when they want to be supportive, right? And like, they don't know what to do yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved Anthony. I thought Anthony was so good.
Yeah, he was so really good.
One of my favorite jokes, because there are so few. I need more jokes in season two, if there's a season two, which I hope there is. I love that tweet where it's like, I dislike nearly every minute, and if there's no season two, I will cut off my own legs. I feel like so many people feel that.
Yeah.
It's a Samantha Irby joke from the Samantha Irby episode. I love when Carrie's wearing the Birkenstocks and she goes, from the knees down, I look like a Vermont art teacher. I was like, oh, that's an Irby joke.
Yeah.
Why was Che always showing up at places unannounced and they got really pissed at Miranda for showing up unannounced?
Che, they need to go. I want Che to Miranda to break up in the first 5 minutes of season two.
Yeah.
I still think she and Steve should get a divorce because I think Steve deserves better.
I think I want them to be friends and co-parents. I liked when Miranda was like, we're still a family.
Right.
And, you know, we're here to paint this woman's shelter. Mm-hmm. I like the choices that Miranda's making with her life. I thought it was...
Oh, I'm not at all, but I'm...
No, well, not that. With her career, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was cool how she was like, you know, essentially the Trump administration made me want to leave corporate law and go to human rights law.
Why was Chucky there?
Yeah, let's talk about Chucky.
It's like a TikTok thing. And it's funny because I was like, is this supposed to be symbolic of her hitting the old redheaded Miranda with the book?
Get out of here, Chucky.
Get out of here, Chucky.
Yeah.
So strange.
It was very odd.
It was so weird. And they were like, we're so excited. We're shooting in the subway. We've always wanted these girls to be on the subway. And I'm like, now I know why they've never been on the subway. Fucking Chucky. Because
they're Chuckies.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Miranda thinks the subway everywhere. It's like,
yeah.
I like that. Like, I feel like the old Sex and the City was so always hailing a taxi, and now they're all like calling Ubers.
Uber. Yeah.
One criticism of the show that I agree with is, speaking of what you said earlier about New York being the fifth lady. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a podcast about the show, and one of them said like they feel like New York wasn't as much of a presence in this as it was in the old show, and there was too much like CGI New York.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's valid.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're not running around the way that they were. You know,
old ass ladies. They can't be running around in heels.
Yeah.
Although Carrie apparently is walking all over the place in platform shoes. What do you think? Good for her.
What do you think of Carrie not having a voiceover anymore?
I feel the absence. I do.
I miss that. I miss there being a thread.
The tone is
yeah.
I agree. It's.
That's something I didn't even realize I missed till you just brought it up. I was like, oh, yeah.
Because, again, I'm doing a rewatch of the original now, and so much of the,
it's such a big thing.
So much of the comedy of the original comes from the voiceover.
Yeah.
Of her saying, like, I didn't want to say what I was thinking, which was, or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
She carries a lot of it.
Maybe that's where the podcast will come in if there's a season two. It'll, like, be the podcast episode.
It'll be, like, in-universe voiceover.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be good. That would be really good.
Can I say my thing, though? Like, I texted Jen. The gay world is just in a tizzy over this. I have a friend who won't watch the last episode because he's like, I'm not ready to say goodbye to the girls. I'm putting it up. And then I had other friends with the finale who were like, I was standing up and clapping. I was crying. I lost it. I know it's so cheesy and so expected. But when in that she had the final monologue and then she looks in the camera and says, until next time, I'm Carrie Bradshaw, and this is Sex and the City. I was like, this is what we've been waiting for.
It was so good.
Peter Griffin stands up.
It's almost like this is what we should have started with. Like, this is what we wanted from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, forget X, Y, and me. Like, Carrie didn't fit in with that.
No.
Yeah, in the beginning, I like when she was like being prudish, and she's like, you got to step your pussy up.
She's always been a prude.
Has she?
She's yes. Prudish. Yeah. At the lunches, she's super judgy with Samantha all the time.
A few times in the original series, Samantha says, like, for a sex columnist, you're very prudish.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Charlotte and Carrie are the romantics. Mm-hmm. Miranda and Samantha are the realists. Yeah. But then Carrie and Samantha are supposed to be the sex positive ones, whereas like Miranda and Charlotte are more prudish. But what really ended up happening was that Carrie would be the judgy one and Miranda would be more curious about it. Like when they were talking about tea, I remember the teabagging always where Miranda's like, oh, that's how that works. Whereas Carrie's like, ew, gross. I don't want to talk about that.
One of my favorite brunch table scenes from the original series is when they're talking about like Tuchus Lingus. And then they're all like so shocked that Charlotte's like,
I'm married.
And then when they're like, oh, well, you wouldn't do it back to the guy. Oh, never. And then Charlotte goes, you wouldn't? So good.
Yeah.
I missed the diner. That's the other thing. I feel like they saved a lot to the finale, like teasing us. Like, we didn't get them having brunch at the coffee shop to the finale either. And when I saw them in the coffee shop, I was like, oh, I didn't even realize how much I missed them at the coffee shop.
Yeah, there is a lot of simple elements that are not there that you feel the absence of them. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel like it felt that I'm sure they were trying to do that. But it somehow felt like a spinoff, yet the characters were still in it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing I think is like I like about it though, is I think that people are a little too tough on it calling it a reboot, because it's really not. Like, I think it is supposed to be more of like a spinoff or like a new series with the same character.
Yeah.
So like it does make sense that it feels more like a spinoff than a continuation. You know, it would have been really easy for them to go back to the well and just do the old stuff. I kind of give them credit for at least trying something different.
What do you guys think about the teacher that she dates?
Mr. Trake.
Yeah.
I think he's cute. I mean, I liked him.
He's sweet. I didn't care for the podcast producer because...
They should have either done it or not done it.
Franklin is my king.
Okay. He's super hot. He is never developed.
Exactly.
He pops in and is like, great job, Carrie. Goodbye. we'll never see.
They should have developed
episode one, you were texting me like, oh my God, I can't wait for them to bone. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And then he never came back again to the last episode. And they had a passionate kiss in the elevator that was totally unearned.
Right. Why couldn't it have been him and not the teacher?
Yes. But I love that it ended with "and just like that" and then nothing. I really like that because it kind of felt cliffhangery. I do think, thinking back, I was like, this is Sex and the City. I feel like if this was truly Carrie's, you know, going through loss and then her rebirth, it should have ended with her having sex with somebody else. Not just kissing somebody else.
Yes. Maybe there should have been a bigger time jump.
Yeah.
Because they do a time jump at some point to try to get to, like, her out there again.
Yeah.
But she never really gets there.
Yeah. I think ultimately, I feel like the show spent so much time on Miranda.
Yeah.
Overall, that it almost felt like her show and that we were not spending as much time with Carrie and developing possible storylines.
Well, it seems like Cynthia Nixon is too much a producer or whatever now.
Yeah.
Seems like
three of them are now.
Yeah. Like it seems like Cynthia Nixon really is getting a lot of her material in.
Well, she said she wouldn't come back unless they did certain things.
Yeah.
Made certain changes.
Although now she kind of digged herself into a ditch because people were like, good, don't bring Miranda back. We're tired of her ass.
Well, so many people were like, I can't believe this is Miranda. Although I do think I see that, like, okay, this is not the Miranda Hobbs we knew. Mm-hmm. But I could also see, like, maybe that was a person who, like, didn't really know the full self.
Yeah.
Right. I agree. She's always had that, like, there's more there, like things that she's possibly struggling with. But I mean, early on, I was like, they're giving her way too much to do. Like she's changing her career. She has an alcohol problem. She's going to leave her marriage. She's queer. She hates her kid. Like there's
that scene where she was screaming at Carrie and was like, I'm unhappy.
Yes.
I mean,
she's so,
so good. A good Carrie Miranda fight is always the best.
Yes.
A problem I had was, I think substance abuse is serious. It should be treated seriously. And yes, it can be a symptom of something else often. But figuring out what's really going on doesn't mean that you then, in the snap of a finger, are done with your substance abuse.
Yeah.
Like, her drinking, they set it up to be something serious. And then when she like realizes she wants to be with Che, she's like, I don't need to be an alcoholic anymore.
But
done.
The thing is, and I don't think they were really explicit with this, is that what's sort of entering like the cultural conversation now is, what is it when someone's not an alcoholic but they're problem drinking anyway? It's not like she's, I don't think she had a physical dependency on it despite the little bottles of Tito's, because that's like more than problem drinking. That's,
and I need a drink before class at 8 in the morning.
But like her drinking seemed to have a lot to do with ritual, like she's having a glass of wine at night, or she's having, like, she's making herself a cocktail, and those things are like, they're related to problem drinking that doesn't have a physical dependency.
But she definitely, she must have blacked out if she went and bought herself a book on drinking and didn't even realize she did it.
Right, but that doesn't mean she's an alcoholic. Like, she's gonna get the shakes and she's like,
no,
and she's like,
well, yeah, but I think substance abuse is about abusing substances now. It doesn't necessarily
but to say need alcoholism to be versus like problematic drinking, like you can be out, like you can only drink in social situations.
Even if it's problematic drinking, though, even if she's not physically like addicted to it, just stopping like that feels disingenuous to me.
I mean, I don't know, a lot of people do. I mean, Chrissy Teigen's super canceled now, but like she famously came out and was like, nobody thought I had a problem at all, and it's not because I was hiding it, it was just because people are like, that's socially acceptable drinking, that's totally fine. But it's like, if you can't live with yourself because like you feel like you made a fool of yourself when you were out in a social situation, then you're problem drinking. It's like not good for your life anymore. And like, obviously it wasn't good for her life anymore to be doing this, because she picked up a book on quitting but then didn't read the book, just quit. I mean, I agree, it wasn't handled elegantly at all.
I mean, they did what they would do in like old sitcoms where she's like a shot of her pouring them down the drain,
and now it's
like,
done.
Tomorrow I'm gonna be perfect.
They did that with Carrie smoking too, on and off. I love that Carrie started smoking.
Me too. I'm such a fan of Carrie as a smoker.
When Carrie smokes, she's a mess, and it's great.
I love it. Loved the outfit that she wore her one cigarette.
What do you guys, how do I put this? In the future, as COVID continues to rage through our lives and universe, what do you think about how they did or didn't deal with COVID?
It was weird. It
because it's so, it's sort of in the rear view. And it, like, we talk about it, but like no one's really wearing masks.
But don't forget, this is also the show that takes place in New York City that never mentioned 9/11.
No,
they really have one never mentioned it.
Thing line where she's like, "I'm gonna throw some much needed money downtown," and like right after 9/11, and she basically says like, "I'm gonna go shopping."
They never mentioned
down there.
Really?
Yeah, and that's it. They never talk about it.
So I think it was. It's always been like kind of a fantasy New York.
Hmm.
I like that they.
Then maybe they should have just not said nothing at all.
But, Mr. Broadway died of COVID. That's so sad.
Yeah,
Nathan Lane's character.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh my God, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I was like, Nathan Lane died of COVID.
No.
Yes, character. In the show, he died of COVID. Yeah, that's
so,
right.
I was so mad right before they said that because I was like, they didn't replace him.
I thought that guy was supposed to be a recast of that character.
Yes.
I thought that was an easy joke that they missed where she could have been like, this is my new boyfriend.
Yes.
Because the joke is that she married
obviously gay, yeah.
I think the way they handled it was, I thought, you know, I don't need to see COVID on TV. I thought it was, right. I like the way that they all were like, you know, during the pandemic, this happened. During the pandemic,
but it's the fact that they talk about it in past tense that's so odd to me.
Also, it was being produced at a time when, like, we thought we were nearly done with COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about Seema's unlucky in love kind of, like, struggle? It felt like Carrie in the old show.
I love that Carrie and Seema are so close.
Yeah, I liked some of it,
even
too.
Even though Carrie's a terrible friend, I don't know why anyone would want to be so close.
I think Seema is the only one. She comes the closest to being a new Samantha than anyone else, probably because of her proximity to Carrie. Something about it, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know why something about it rubbed me the wrong way of like, this is her thing. Her thing is.
But I love that she's like.
And she seems so self-possessed and then to be like looking for.
Yeah.
But what I loved about her was. And I thought that this was actually really well written, that she's like what Carrie would have been if Carrie had never gotten married.
Yeah,
and I love that Carrie became that woman who was like, I think it's brave that you're still out there looking for somebody. Yeah. And then and Seema called her out and was like, you insulted me when you said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like Carrie used to complain about the married women who would like look down on
Seema
like that. Right. I thought that was really good. And I love that that's what spurred their real friendship.
Yeah.
That. I just love Seema. I think she's a great addition.
I love her. She has a lot of shades of Samantha. Obviously, she's like a very successful professional woman. She's extremely fashionable. She's sexy. But whereas Samantha is like, if she's driven by sex and Seema is driven by love, like she's looking for love, whereas Samantha's always, you know, looking for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. she's looking for three hots in a car.
She's looking for her. I love Sam. But some things were off about Seema, though. Like her parents weren't old enough to be her parents.
Right. Well, what about when she was like.
Also, her dad played a guy who kissed Samantha.
Do you know that also her boyfriend at the end was the guy from the Prada store from the original?
Oh my God, series? That was him?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of actors from the original came back in like different little roles.
Yeah.
I feel this, but there's also a moment where I feel like Seema's like, no, Carrie, you can wear this, looks at the camera. This is not cultural appropriation because I say it's okay
I
for
say
her.
It's okay. It's cultural appropriation.
I'm giving her the okay.
I'm the first person to ever come up with that.
Yeah. And then Carrie's okay, if I can. Like,
as long, yes, 100%.
Look.
They wanted to put her in a sari, and they're like, how are we going to get around this? Oh, Seema will say it's okay. Yeah.
What do you guys think about, was this the last episode or second last episode where the teacher asked her for a kiss, and she says later on, he asked me, and I'm not used to that.
I like that. I think I'm just too soft on the show because I'm just such a fan.
No, I just want to know what you think of it.
Because I thought it was honest. Like, I think a woman at 55 who's newly dating would be like, what is this new world of consent?
Yeah. Right.
Nobody's leaning in and kissing me.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Right.
And I think it's honest. I think, obviously, it's somewhat, somebody would say it's problematic, but I think it's real that after being married
for so long, it's definitely, I'm sure.
She was like, I don't know, like, a contract for a kiss, like, that doesn't feel romantic to me.
Right. And not only is she got married before all of this sort of entered our culture, but also if you're married, your spouse doesn't usually ask to kiss you. Right, so you're so used to just receiving kisses or giving kisses whenever you feel like it. And then just have someone like, so it's an added layer on top of the weirdness of dating after you've been married. That also like, I have to ask you like reviving and then like, okay, can I?
Maybe instead of killing him, they should have Me Too'd big. Like somebody comes out from the past and says,
Samantha should have been Me Too'd.
On Saving the Sex and the City.
That would have been great.
The great Sex and the City podcast, Saving Sex and the City 3. One of the episodes was, every episode they come up with a new plot line for Sex and the City 3. And one of them was, Samantha is Me Too.
Yes.
And all these guys come back and they're like, she grabbed me while I was at work.
You see it through a different lens. You see it through them being like harassed by her essentially, not her being like the sexually empowered woman.
And then they were like, the cops will come arrest her. And she's like, oh, he's hot. I want him to end
like, no, Samantha, no.
Why my pee with his D? Such a good podcast.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I do miss her. She was the funniest. I don't know. She was. I miss her. I feel like that's an element that you is definitely just not there. She was the most cartoonish too. I feel like it seems more realistic without her in it.
Yeah, she's definitely. She brought the camp.
Yeah, she did bring the camp.
Because whenever there would be any
her
kind of,
voice is camp.
You know? Yeah. Whenever there was any kind of theme, she would have like the most bizarro, cartoony version of the theme. Like when there, one of the running motifs of the episode was like nipples, something with nipples and like mothering and breastfeeding or whatever. And like Samantha's story was that she was wearing like prosthetic nipples. Like it was always like.
The Miranda then borrows.
Yes. It was always like, she always had like the most cartoony version of whatever the theme was for that.
Yeah.
If you could have it your way, like what would you have changed about this season? Or what would you have kept? Like I would have kept Big dying. Mm-hmm. I would have kept Steve and Miranda breaking up, but maybe not kept Che. Like I would have kept that story. Like I think Miranda going through a midlife crisis is good. Yeah.
But if she's not going through a midlife crisis, she's not even going through a coming out. She's going through an obsession with one singular human. And that's what's so weird
but
about
while
it.
While everything else in her life is changing too.
Right, right.
I mean, Charlotte with the kid stuff, like, I mean, that just feels, like, right for her character.
I would have kept, to answer your question, I would have kept a lot of it, but I would have kept up with things. Like, I would have paid off the things that they started.
They started, I probably would have done less. I think they went in too many directions.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember, like, in, like, the middle, they would be introducing things, and I'm like, why are we still introducing shit? Mm-hmm. Like,
although, again, Jen the Rabbi is a great introduction.
Rabbi Jen, last minute.
Rabbi Jen back.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I love when Rabbi Jen came and was like their counselor. During what I'm hearing is a lot of love between you two. I would have kept a lot. I think what I definitely want, my biggest complaint is there needs to be more jokes. Like, just jokes. Like, honestly. Yeah. Like, it's just that simple. Like, you need to get more jokes on the page.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of funny people in that writer's room. I don't know why there aren't more jokes on the page, unless that's really what you were going for, was a more dramatic vibe.
Unless the cringe moments were supposed to be the funny moments.
I guess. Because, like... Know.
The Miranda stuff with Naya at first just makes me like...
I also thought those students were being little shits.
Oh.
Someone's quick with the pronouns.
Like, oh my gosh.
Leave this poor old woman alone.
She doesn't know anything.
Also, what an a missed joke of Miranda looked the exact same age as Che's abuela. Like, that should have been... In the old Sex and the City, that would have been the moment where Miranda's like, oh, I need to dye my hair back.
Yikes.
What about Che singing? I was like, are they doing this to torture us?
And Sarah Ramirez can really sing. Mm-hmm. Like, they've been on Broadway.
Well, that was the thing. Like, when we're watching the episode, Bill was like, why didn't they just make them a singer?
Right.
Like, they don't have to be funny. They could just have a concert.
Yeah.
And say
they could have a music concert. Hey, you want to go to the music concert?
I'm moving my whole life to California because I got a pilot. Nobody does that.
No, nobody does.
Nothing about Che's career makes any sense.
Nothing.
I got to quit my podcast.
I have to quit my podcast to go do my pilot, and we're going to shop around and see if it gets picked up. So I'm going to just abandon my whole life and put it all in this one basket.
Yeah.
Love Jackie. Need more Jackie and Smoke.
Oh my god.
I don't know. I don't remember what that is.
Jackie
that?
Is the third chair on the podcast.
And
oh my god, Jackie's gun. You want me to bring my gun?
I love that Carrie would just call I like an expanded universe where like there are more friends and Carrie's like calling Jackie at 3 a.m.
I know. And he's like, why are you calling? Well, yeah, I love it. It felt so real because he's like, why are you calling me? Also, it's super late. Like,
do you want me to bring my gun?
Yes. He's like, nobody calls. Like, you're an old lady. You're calling. Yeah. Don't sell smoke. I have a gun.
I wish the downstairs neighbor. Okay,
Chloe, the other podcast producer, who's like,
oh yes, who's like, oh yeah, you're so terrible. Yes, she's a Broadway
has
actress.
Has a past with Jackie, and I just love when she was like, Carrie girl, I'm sorry, I'm here for you, but get your socials up.
Yeah,
she won a Tony. For
Her name is Allison Mackenzie Stroker. Mm-hmm. She's the first actress who uses a wheelchair to appear on the Broadway stage and to be nominated for and win Tony Award.
What was the show? Oklahoma? Was it Oklahoma?
It might have been. It's like on the tip of my tongue.
I remember her performance at the Tony. Oh, no. Maybe. No, not Carrie.
She was in Only Murders in the Building, really?
Yeah, she's one of the
fans. Oklahoma,
She's one of the fans outside.
I wanted more from the downstairs neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or maybe just leave her in that one episode and never bring her back and let it be done. Because when she came back, it was like,
oh, are they gonna keep?
Yeah, back? What's how? Yeah,
it was almost like they're giving her too many friends.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like they throw so many people at us.
That's also a terrible line when the boyfriend who's so hot was like, "Don't be such an out of towner." It's like no 19-year-old says that.
Yeah.
I loved Carrie at the bodega.
Oh, I know.
Caroline, take a free butter roll. So good. I never see you in the neighborhood. You got married.
Well, there's that whole episode where she's just dressed like the Joker. Like every time you see her, she looks more like the Joker.
Clothes. Yeah.
Although, why would Big have a purple suit?
From what? The Halloween one year.
This is when he won his prints that one year.
What did you think of what was your best look? I think my favorite look is when she's... I love that Carrie's serving all the hats this season.
Yep.
I love the look that she wore to the dinner when she told him she was selling the apartment. It was like the brown and tan.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
That was my favorite, one of my favorite looks. And I loved the look that she wore when she like got back on her heels.
Yeah. Oh, That was one of my favorite ones. That was almost like a caftan. It was so it was pretty. So it was really glittery. That was a good one. I like when she did sparkle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a cheat, but I love that the ruffle dress.
Miranda looked horrible.
So gorgeous.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Miranda looked a mess.
I feel like they were lazy with Charlotte. I feel like they just put her in A-line outfits, and she's always in A-line outfits. So those are the kinds of like tight on the top and then just flare out. They always put her in flare skirts. Mm-hmm. It's like very preppy. That's like her
LTW was styled.
LTW was fantastic. Yeah. Yes.
I love it.
And Seema. I love Seema.
Oh, yeah.
Seema's like cool as a cucumber. They always put her in like cool tones. Mm-hmm. So she's like in like mauve or gray or like bait. Like, she's just like chill.
I love that Carrie has a friend who loves fashion as much as she does. Mm-hmm. And like her thing is purses where Carrie's shoes.
Yeah. Yes. But like when she's like, I want to have a cigarette after seeing the dress. And she's like, but I feel like I just had sex.
I liked when Anthony called LTW Black Charlotte.
Oh my god. Yeah.
He's always like he's like the one who pushes the envelope the most with the jokes of like, it seems like the rest of them are trying to be more woke, but like Anthony's still Anthony.
He's like,
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I love his business.
Hot Fellas.
Oh yeah. Everyone was baking bread during the pandemic. That's another one. It's funny because they don't address it currently affecting their lives in any way, but it has changed all of their lives.
Right.
With the exception of like Carrie, I guess, right? Just the cooks. Gloves. Or she cooks now. Okay. I mean, yeah, I guess.
She did that like whole scene that's in the kitchen with the
salmon.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
And the salmon.
She's always like salting a salmon.
Right. That's all she knows.
Right. Well, before she, right. Because she famously says like the only thing I've ever made in the kitchen is a mess and several small fires. Right. That's which is a great line. Yeah, she cooks. And then, of course, Big got a Peloton.
That worked out for him.
Yeah.
Maybe don't smoke a giant cigar before you work out.
Peloton's statement was so great. When they're like, so if you kept up with the series, you would know that he ate many steaks and smoked cigars.
He had a cardiac condition history. His medical history showed that his heart was coming for him one way or another.
Can I tell you what I don't want to hear again?
Yes.
In the discourse? Mm.
I know.
I'm so tired of this. Why didn't Carrie call 911 nonsense?
Yeah.
It's a leap.
He's supposed to die.
He's gonna die.
He's gonna die. It was gonna happen.
She didn't call 911.
Here's why. She's the producer, and she gave a great performance. Mm-hmm. And any editor would have cut it down. And she said, "No, I'm the producer. You leave in every second of my gold." Mm-hmm. And that's what it is.
Yeah. And also, I do buy that. Like, maybe it was supposed to be like a slowed down version of time.
Yeah, I feel that. Like,
or she's a Black Widow and she's finally getting what she wanted.
She's finally like,
she's finally got that fat cash.
There were some jokes on Twitter about that where they were like, "Well, she knew what she was doing."
Like, I can't open his phone. You know me and cell phones.
All right, let me ask you guys a question: is there a character from the old show, or even like a plot line from the old show that you would have liked to see come back?
I would have liked them to mention Magda once. Just one time.
Yeah.
Too much. It would have been a lot of death.
I know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they kind of wrote themselves into a corner because they had Big die, so they couldn't kill Samantha.
Yeah.
They couldn't kill Stanford.
Right. Yes. Right.
So it's like, what do you do?
I know.
Magda is, that actress is past.
Right? Yeah, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I would have, maybe I'm just too old school. I would have liked to have seen Aiden again.
Yeah. Just, I love Aiden.
Just catch up with him again. Yeah, just catch up with him, like whatever he's doing now, his kids, like in high school.
He did.
Yeah, because he was like, yeah, I'm in this. And yeah. They're like, no,
apparently they said, but it's so weird that all this stuff came out. I guess they wanted to wait till the season was over. Right, so then but the minute the finale dropped, they were like, by the way, we never asked John Corbett to be in this.
Wow.
And he totally made that up. And we don't.
That's hilarious.
And he got in trouble. They're like mad at him.
Maybe he meant like I'm in an Applebee's commercial and not.
Oh, man.
Best casting, by the way, best voice casting ever. They're like, who's the voice of Applebee's? Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah, that's what Applebee's sounds like.
I said it. I want Amelita Amalfi back.
I feel like I don't remember this character. You said God. It, and I'm like,
who's that?
Uh-huh.
She's from
season one. Remember, Carrie, this is really problematic. Carrie says that most people consider her Euro trash, but I thought she was fun. And she like buys Carrie a Prada bag. Carrie, you bitch, come sit with us.
Okay.
You're the fabulous woman in New York.
Okay.
I want her back. Yes, that's her.
It's just Kim Kardashian. Yeah, exactly.
I want Kim Kardashian as Amelita Amalfi.
I'd like wonderful. To see. Well, no, there were a lot of like New York characters, and like yeah, where
Susan
are these people
Sharon.
Now?
Yeah.
I love that Susan Sharon. That was the funniest when she was like, "Carrie, I forgive
what
you."
What are the French?
And she's like, "Whenever you have the bandwidth, I'm back."
The bandwidth.
It was so good.
I love it. I hope so she's still good. With that husband of hers.
oh man. Who else? So I went back. I like
that Bitsy like was there. Again. I'd like to see Aiden. Yeah. We saw Natasha.
That was good.
That was very good.
What about
Gogi, the dog we heard about once and it just like never came back again?
So that's what I was waiting for. And maybe they just didn't want to touch on Chris Noth anymore. Mm. But I was waiting for somewhere later in the season.
She was going to find out
her to find that like Big always kept things.
Kept
things.
Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't like, right. a fairy tale.
Yeah.
Right. Because she has such rose-colored glasses and then the Natasha thing really throws her for a loop and she's like, I'm right back here again. Like being crazy Carrie, which I loved. Mm. But then she still, I mean, literally, she had him on a shelf, like she up above her. For the rest of the series, it's like she didn't learn anything.
Right. And it is weird that he wouldn't tell her that he left Natasha $1 million.
Well, it isn't for the series. It is for this version.
What is
of
he worth?
A lot.
Right? I know. I want to
that
know
that he left
money.
Her a million.
In the
cool
first
mill.
Movie, they go see that penthouse, and he's like, I got it. I'll buy it.
Yeah.
And it's like incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
And she even says in the movie, like, I got it. Like, he's picking up the check for coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's super rich.
Yeah.
Now she is.
Black Widow. I thought it was, I laughed at the moment with the brother where he was like, where's John? Yeah. And she was like,
he's dying.
She was like, oh, God, I thought I was going to tell you that again. I think, like you mentioned that, I think that Sex and the City was always very, like, talked about. It was like a water cooler show.
Yeah.
And I'll give it to him just like that. In the age of streaming, like, having a week-to-week show, like, people were talking about
every
it.
But you know what? 90. Disney Plus does this now. Hulu's doing this now. Yeah. It seems like it's coming
back.
Netflix is the only one that drops whole things.
Yeah.
Everyone else does week-to-week. They might give you two or three at the start to hook you, but everyone else is back to this, and I think it's smart.
I think it's smart. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have enjoyed this as much because it wouldn't have been.
Well, look at the Star Wars shows. They wouldn't be as good without the week-to-week thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, culturally, that model has worked since the 50s. Like,
You hook them and then you make them wait.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's like a book. It's like, what are you up to? You up to this part? Are you up to the? Okay, we'll see what happens.
Right.
It comes and goes so fast.
And then it's like, well, now you have to wait a year for the next season.
Yeah.
Where at least this feels a little bit more stretched out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did you think was the strongest or weakest episode?
I can't. Why were they painting a house? What were they doing? Why were they painting things?
A woman's shelter.
Huh?
Naya wanted to do it.
Naya Miranda thing.
Yeah. Everybody got their period.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got Charlotte in 08.
I like that.
Yeah.
Stomper.
Really one of the only stories about the other kid.
They're always doing some shit to Charlotte. I mean, oh my gosh, she shits her pants in the first movie. They like to really lay her low because she's so prim and proper, but my God, what Kristen Davis will put up with.
I thought the first episode was strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is Sex and the City, and then at the end it turns, and then it becomes a different show.
Right.
I thought that was kind of like interesting.
Yeah.
I thought the finale was really strong.
Yeah, the finale
was good.
Yeah, it did end strong. Let's end with some predictions for season 2 if it happens.
Okay. Gogi the dog. No
SJP.
Gogi.
And probably, I think no SJP, and they'll never mention her again.
It's SJP?
Not no. SJP. It's so like, late.
Whoa, this is a wild move. So it's SEMA's show.
That would if.
Oh like my god, wait, her name is SEMA Patel? Yeah. What if her middle name starts with a J? She's the new SJP.
Oh my god. Well, also, I like people online were calling her Samantha.
Oh, I like that.
That's fun.
It'd be funny if it comes back next season. It's like, yeah, it's a show about four gals. It's about
Sima, LTW, Naya, and Che.
And Che.
No! No.
Is there another? Oh, I guess not.
No. There's three. And then who else? Lisette.
And Lisette. And Rabbi Jen.
And Rabbi Jen.
I would watch that show in a minute.
I love Rabbi Jen. New York
Minute. I mean, I think season two could be stronger because we're far away from the death. And death is typically not very funny.
Uh-huh.
And now we have her dating. And that will feel like the show.
And she has a podcast.
She has a podcast, so she could be narrating.
The people live call into.
There are podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess. I mean, you just like have a time, but then it's going
to
like.
She only knows how to do a live podcast.
Yeah.
It's edited live. It just goes out.
I want to read that book she wrote, Loved and Lost.
Yeah. Yep.
Love the cover.
Is Candace Bushnell involved at all at this point?
She did an interview recently where she was talking about it.
I mean, JP Jr. did die.
I think she's not involved creatively at all. But I think they still invite her to things. I think she still makes a lot of money off of it. I think she's never said anything bad about it. She's for it. She likes what it is.
She has a one-woman show right now off Broadway called Is There Still Sex in the City? So she's still making money off of this.
What does she do? She's not a performer.
I think it's her talking. It's like a one-woman show with her talking about, coincidentally, it's like this. It's like her talking about like dating in her 50s.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay.
My predictions for season two or what I want. Is it predictions or what I want?
I was going to say.
Either.
I want Che to break up with
both.
Miranda.
I want
Miranda laid low.
I want Miranda's heart broken. Yeah.
But then meet somebody else. Yeah.
Meet someone else. She doesn't have to be with Steve.
Right.
I want Steve to meet somebody else.
Right. Yeah. You make her growth about herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not about someone else.
Have her have the storyline that Carrie never had, that Carrie's still hung up on Big.
Dead in the ground,
and she still can't get over him.
He's dead on a shelf.
He's dead on a shelf. That's well, right. Now he's in the river.
Yeah.
He's dead in a river.
She really unceremoniously just like dumped him out.
Some janitor should be like, hey.
Oh my God. Well, Bill and I were joking. Like, what if one of those like sand rivers comes through and it lands on someone's head and they're like, what was it? Oh my God. Lady, are you throwing at? Was that a person? It's in my mouth.
Do you think it's selfish that she didn't at least give half of the ashes to the
Yes. Because you can dole it out and give it to people.
I'm wearing a croissant gown on this bridge.
Yeah. I mean, you could. I've seen people with ashes. Like, you can give it all sorts of.
Who gives a shit? They can't feel it? Yeah. Like, just give it away.
Yeah, you do it a fucking.
I liked the thing with the light. I thought it was.
And it was cute.
The conversation about, like, do you believe in the afterlife? Right. And old school Miranda.
Yeah.
Old school Miranda finally comes back in that scene. Carrie? Here she is. She cannot tolerate this.
I like when she's laying there and then the light comes on and Carrie just goes, that is so you. what I want is more of my King Franklin. I want to get to know him inside and out.
We won't.
I want.
She'll keep her bra on.
Carrie dating.
Every time they have sex.
And I want these characters integrated. I want to see all six of the gals at brunch now. Like, I want there to be a revolving door of characters in and out.
Yeah.
But, like, fully develop all of them. Like, give LTW as much as you gave Naya.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and make them more even. Like, I'm okay with pulling away a little bit from the main three and making it more an ensemble again. Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited. I really want there to be season two. Let's face it. I'm going
to
watch
it. It's up to...
Yeah, if it comes on, I'll watch it, obviously.
It's Jessica Parker, really. It's down to her if she wants to do it or not.
I'm sure she wants to do it.
I don't know. Candace Bushnell, in a recent interview, said that she had to be convinced to do this.
Mm. I don't believe that for a second. Mm-hmm. I mean, I read that too, but I don't believe that.
But she's been saying for years, like, well, the third movie would have happened if not for... Kim, you know, like she seems to have been on board with that.
She filmed this and then immediately went to film Hocus Pocus 2. So she's reliving her 90s.
And now she's on Broadway with Matthew Broderick.
Doing what?
Plaza Suite.
Yeah.
What is that? It's a Neil Simon.
Okay.
it's three little stories inside three different hotel rooms.
It was supposed to come out like right before the pandemic hit.
Okay.
And then I thought it wasn't going to happen because it didn't even start yet. I think they were in rehearsal.
They live in a world where there are no other comedians. Like, they've never everyone's heard a like, joke
this
before.
This is amazingly funny. And everyone's like simping over them so hard. Like, all the moms at the charity.
Event, yeah.
They're like, oh my God,
and Chang. Even Charlotte was like, oh, I could see
I that. Had a sex dream about Chang, too. I was like, no, you didn't. He's like a bald Jewish guy who's.
You know, like,
it's got a huge dog.
No offense to.
You are not fantasizing about Chang.
When Harry screamed, how about Michelle Obama's book?
I loved her book.
That was.
But that was another thing where everybody at the table was like, like, they all laughed. And it was just like,
he's always great. He was great on Californication. Yeah, he's always funny. Just an old Jew trying to play sports.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Something that you said before, where, Mike, you said, like, sometimes it can feel like exclusive because they're all so rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michael Patrick King, again, he's got this weird take sometimes. Mm. On one of the on the podcast about that episode, he was like, it was really important for us to show a room full of black millionaires. And I was like, is that something that's really important for us to show? And he was like, it's the first time ever on Sex and the City we had a room full of black millionaires. And I was like, okay. Maybe you should have leaned a little more on like the women of color who write for the show for this one. But okay, Michael Patrick, okay. Do you, I guess.
Yeah.
it feels weird.
It's I appreciate the effort, I guess. A for effort. I don't know. I love the black artwork, though. Like,
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the photos.
The real pieces. There was, I don't know if it was conscious. I mean, I'm sure it was a choice, an acting choice, but the woman who plays Nia Wallace, when Nia meets LTW, like, she meets Charlotte first. Charlotte and Charlotte's kids first. And then LTW and LTW's kids. And Nia says hi to Charlotte, and Charlotte's kids is like, oh, hi, hi. And then with LTW, she visibly looks physically more relaxed when she says hi to her, and then gets down and is like, oh, hi, you're so cute, and is like warmer with the kids. And I was like, oh, I wonder if it's just like a, oh, like, I'm comfortable with this person automatically because
I'm not the only,
I'm not the only black person here. Yeah.
And I thought it was, I thought it was fun, that bit of like Charlotte trying to invite another black couple.
And then being like, oh, sorry, it's canceled. She canceled on both black women.
And the woman's like, we're really not coming.
I love it.
Guys, we gotta wrap this up. It's been quite a while.
I could talk for 4 more hours.
Yeah. Does anyone have any salient points that they wanted to make before we, this has been quite a... quite a comedy concert.
Do you think this is going to totally isolate our audience?
I mean, I don't know.
No.
We go in all different directions, right?
Yeah. Anyway. Well, this is this is PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
President's check.
Anthony Bongiorno. And Janine Gagliardi. Everyone's getting loopy. It's a little late. We end our episode by saying...
woke moment.
And just like that,
we end our episode by saying, hey, it's JD. But seriously,
go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.